KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. I'm talking to Mike Seymour, an Emmy-nominated VFX expert and a senior researcher at the University of Sydney. He sent us an email after our conversation with screenwriter and director Billy Ray about the dangers of AI. Seymour sees another side to the issue, so we invited him to share some of his thoughts on the subject. You mentioned in your email that people in visual effects are being hurt by the anti-CGI discussion, where filmmakers claim they did a thing for real, and there's actually a vast amount of visual effects. Maybe this is a reference to Oppenheimer, where Chris Nolan is talking about having no CGI in detonating an atomic bomb.
Yeah, I mean, this is now a really interesting point, because the industry, the visual effects industry, both uses AI and uses just computer graphics all the time in almost every department, right? From hair and makeup fixes to wardrobe fixes to location fixes to even relighting and stuff. And yet there's this big thing about, oh, we did it for real. We didn't, you know, use either visual effects or CGI. And yes, on Oppenheimer, which is a film I'm desperately keen to see, there's been this whole sort of, I don't know if it's from the director himself, but it certainly feels like it's the media kind of play that they haven't used CGI, which is to say, I think what they mean is they haven't used computer graphics to create the explosions. They've actually used, you know, real pyrotechnics. But I can't imagine they haven't used VFX, which is to say compositing and combining of imagery. But yeah, the marketing is, hey, we haven't used those computer things. Isn't that great? Because we did it for real. And my claim is, hang on a second, none of this stuff is real. Like, they aren't real bombs, they aren't real doctors, they aren't real bullets that they shoot people with. The whole story is a fabrication. And so it's just a different type of fakery to use a computer to pull something off. Is it true that you can use VFX or computer graphics badly? Absolutely. There's no question that some people have done some really bad visual effects. But I think it's also true to say, you could point that finger at any other department. There have been films with bad cinematography, bad music, bad makeup, bad wardrobe, bad stories. So VFX is no better or worse, but there is a huge kind of marketing slant that, oh my God, we did this for real. We used miniatures, we used models, we used whatever. When I don't think that's what the audience is going to see. I think the audience is going to see a good story. And without a couple of exceptions, what do we care how we get the great imagery? We want to be immersed in the story. And if we happen to use new tools to do that, then doesn't that just facilitate stories we couldn't have otherwise done? Like on screen right now, when you look at the amazing stuff that's happening in both television and in films, a lot of those stories are only possible because we're using computer graphics. And it's really insulting to the artist to imply that somehow this amazing work they're doing, which is incredibly visually rich, is inferior because they were using a computer at some stage.
Yes. Let's talk about the actors for just a minute. The actors are worried about their images being used. I guess you would say this is what they are bargaining for and they should, or are you skeptical of that too?
So I think that actors have an insanely difficult job to produce an authentic performance. And if somebody wants to be able to place that actor in a dangerous position, then they'll obviously normally go to stunts. But if we still want to see a nuanced performance from the actor, we want to somehow combine the actor with the stunt person. And then we get into, oh, okay, well, we'll just use AI technology to make it look like that actor is really on top of a train, or that actor is really, whatever it is, 40 years younger than he actually is on top of the train. But it's important that the actor be involved in that process. And similarly, as I think I said earlier, you can't just use the likeness of someone without their permission. Like, that's just not allowed under the law. So actors should be aware of what can be done with the technology. They should use it where it helps them to deliver a performance they want. And also they should be aware that if they're signing away their rights, they are signing away their rights, and people can, you know, obviously come up with things that use their likeness if they've signed it away. But I mean, I would suggest it's a really bad idea in any circumstances just to sign away your rights. But Kim, can I give you another example of AI to do with actors that I think is kind of interesting?
Sure.
Like, I was involved in helping build one of the first pipelines to change the dubbing process. So we transferred a film. The whole film was shot in Polish and German. We built a pipeline with a company in LA called Pinscreen and a company called Adapt Entertainment to change every actor's face so that they are delivering the lines in English. Now, what you see on the screen, therefore, just looks like it was shot in English, even though on the day they shot the original film, there was nothing special, no dots, no special cameras, nothing, just the normal finished film was converted. In doing that process, we invited the original actors to come back if they wanted to deliver their lines. Half of them did, half of them didn't. So in the film, half of those faces are controlled by the original actor and half of them are controlled by somebody else, but with every actor's permission for doing it. And then what do we end up with? We end up with a film that is available to a much wider audience because people can now see the film and aren't sort of stopped by subtitles or bad dubbing. Mm. We don't want to get rid of subtitles because the hearing impaired community desperately needs them.
Of course,
but
yeah.
This didn't cost anyone any jobs. This didn't mean that we're sort of laying anyone off. We still get people in to do the voiceover work for the dubbing. We still convert the films. In fact, we employ a whole lot more people to do that process. And then we open up films from different parts of the world to a whole new audience. But I'll give you one last point relating to the writers in this. When a writer delivers a piece of dialogue, they've crafted that to deliver not just the words that are being said, but kind of a hint to the subtext of what's going on. It's an incredibly respected art. When you dub somebody, you don't go for the best translation of that piece of writing. You go for whatever makes the lips move that kind of work with what the actor's lips moved the first time. In other words, you try and come up with words that are about the same duration. So the lip sync looks not terrible, even though, of course, they're speaking a different language and they've been dubbed. So you're basically hacking the work of the writer to come up with a better version of the audio, not based on quality of writing, but just based on lip movements. So you're not respecting the actor and you're not respecting the writer when you just do a bad dub over the top of them. But when you use AI to change their faces to look like they're delivering the lines in English, they're emphasizing the right word at the right time. It doesn't make the actor look silly and it respects the script because you no longer have to match, you know, lips in a way that, make you to hack the script. And so there's AI creating new jobs, getting a more authentic performance and validating the work of the creative team.
So overall, I think the takeaway from your list of points is that there is a deep fear of new and not totally explored technologies because we really are at the beginning of this generative AI, I think. And one of the points you cited in the email, you said that you could remember teachers, I think maybe in Australia, protesting calculators because it would ruin people's ability to do math.
Yeah, I think making the point that every time a new technology comes along, people get quite nervous about it. And sometimes it's easy to forget these things. And yeah, we have press clippings of when teachers were walking down the streets with placards complaining about calculators in schools because it'd be the death of mathematics. And it happens kind of at every stage, right? People will say, this is terrible, because there will be dislocation, obviously, and changes to roles. There's no question about that. I'm not for a second suggesting that there won't be changes. What I'm saying, though, is that that is something that just happens, that we change, we evolve, society moves on and adjusts, and the jobs that we have of today are different from the ones of yesterday. And that's really crappy if you're a person that gets, laid off. But the reality is it's not in of itself just the thing that you can point to as the wholesale destruction of the economy or the wholesale loss of jobs. Because as you guys said last week, you just need to look at history. And history has shown us, especially in the last 40 years, that yes, we've had massive changes with the internet and computerization. God, media and entertainment has like been turned on its head. But it's not as if no one is watching any films, no one is making any films, or no one is employed in the media and entertainment industry.
Mike Seymour is an Emmy-nominated visual effects expert and a senior researcher at the University of Sydney. Thank you very much for joining and passing along your thoughts.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
And that's The Business. Joshua Farnham produced and edited today's show with help this week from John Meek, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW shows on kcrw.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.